Tales of a well-established lesbian. Chapter 39. So, there we were, a quarter of the way through 2015, and the outlook for the rest of the year had changed considerably. With the house sale done and dusted, Ashley had found a new lease of life. She, just like me, was ready to make some proper plans for the future. There was just one last thing that needed to be dealt with. Since the house had sold, Ashley's brother had gone back to North London, though not until he absolutely had to. I was starting to worry he thought he was a fitting or fixture and would be staying with the house. He left the day before the keys were exchanged, and you know exactly who cleaned up after him. Over the coming weeks, I got the impression that somehow Ash's brother had come into a little money. Call me cynical, but I was a little suspicious of the man who couldn't afford rent for the last 3 months or more, suddenly having the means to buy a car or those Prada trainers. I was actually concerned that because of our move, he'd gone straight back to his old life, and he'd always made good money in those days. I wondered if we should have been more supportive. I didn't like him, but he is Ash's brother, and I kind of felt obligated to give a shit. I tried to subtly inquire how he is and, you know, what's he up to these days, without making it seem like I'm dead suspicious. That's when Ash shares the news that her brother, it seems, is expecting a share from the sale of the house. I'm not going to lie, I was astounded. This bloke has got more front than Brighton. His little sister has literally saved him from the gutter, housed, fed, and at times clothed him. She's helped out with his kids more times than I can count. I don't know how many job applications Ash actually did on his behalf. And now he seems to think he's owed something. Because he'd paid rent, like, what, twice? Maybe changed a light bulb? Or just because? I couldn't believe the cheek of it. Couldn't. And the thing that really annoyed me was that Ash had already gone out of her way to set him up in a new place. I already thought that was over and above, to be honest. But as I say, not my brother. You know, we'd given a man like 9 months' notice. I felt like he could have scraped a few pence together. But nope, he just decides to come to his sister, cap in hand once more. It did. It raised my eyebrows and I struggled to keep my opinions to myself. Had to remind myself it wasn't my money and it wasn't my problem. Just another reason why, sometimes, I'm really glad I'm an only child. For once, though, Ash's brother's actions actually had an unintended positive outcome for me. While he listed all the reasons why he felt Ash owed him something out of the sale of the house, Ash made another list of all the things he actually hadn't done when asked and who'd actually done them instead. Three prizes, no guesses for that one. Without realising it, her brother had made Ash aware of all of the things I'd actually done to help out. I can't lie, there had been times when it had felt like my contributions to the situation had meant nothing to Ash. It had taken me a little while to realise that she was so stressed that she didn't even have time for it. Now she had a little room to breathe, Ash had a different perspective. Maybe it was gratitude or appreciation, or maybe it was a bit of guilt. But whatever her reasons, Ash decided that it was time to upgrade my car. Actually, now I think about it, I'm pretty sure Ashley was just over having to be driven around in a gold car. This might have been her truest motive of all. And the best bit was, Ash didn't just go out and pick a car for me. She knew I'd want something a little different, and that for me, a part of the fun would be getting to search for the car that I wanted. I mean, this was going to be the biggest budget I'd ever had for a car. And if I'm purchasing a big ticket item, I'm going to enlist the help of the two most sensible people I know, my mum and dad. You see, my dad spent years in the car industry. He's a handy man in this situation. He can tell you, for example, whether or not, for that mileage, that particular model ought to have had its cam belt changed by now, and if it hasn't, you probably don't want to buy it. My mum, on the other hand, has a wealth of knowledge about the car insurance industry. And she is right there to poo-poo my more insane ideas. Luckily for me, by this point, used cars for sale in my budget are mostly the cars I loved back in my early 20s. You know, the cars I dreamed of driving back then are now old enough for me to get my hands on. Unfortunately, this does not include Jeep Wranglers. I'll search high and low, but the budget just will not stretch far enough. And if it does stretch far enough, I definitely can't afford the insurance or the fuel bill. My dad and I go back and forth. He knows me. He knows my tastes. He knows what I will and won't entertain the idea of. He also knows that I A, cannot afford a pickup truck, and B, don't really need a pickup truck, despite all of my desires to have a pickup truck. Sometimes I am such a lesbian. My ever practical parents come in very handy, and they make some very good points. I'm determined to get some kind of joy out of this situation, as well as a practical solution for my transport needs. I go and check out a few cars, get in them, see how they might feel to drive. And you know, it was like nothing fit. Cars and houses, aren't they? They're like massive purchases that we make, you know, two of the biggest for many of us, and yet we buy them based on a feeling. And I wasn't finding that, you know, that this is my car sort of feeling. Not at all. And then every time I found a lead on something, it would fall through, you know, already sold or not quite as advertised. I gave up for a bit, only a few days, you know, put it up to the back of my mind. It's a handy trick when you're stuck on something. Just go and do something else. Your mind will keep working the problem while you get a change of scenery. For once, work actually came in very useful. Instead of just skiving in the office, scrolling through Auto Trader and eBay, I'd been roped in to help with the shortage of delivery drivers. In a village deep in the countryside, I made a delivery to a gorgeous little cottage. Thatch roof, roses growing up and over the door. Utterly picturesque. But it wasn't the cottage that caught my eye. It was a driveway full of cars. Five of them, parked in a line. The third car in the lineup sat much lower than the others, and I recognised that roofline. We stood on the doorstep and talked about his collection. They were just cars that he'd loved driving over the years, and he either hadn't been able to part with them, or he'd gone and found one as close to the one he'd had back in the day. He joked, just two more, and he'd have one for every day of the week. I laughed politely as he continued to misgender me throughout the conversation, despite my very feminine first name being visible on my badge. I didn't take it to heart. He'd barely glanced at me since I asked about the cars, lost in a world of his own memories. He might say he kept them because he loved the way they drove, but I suspect it was more about the way they made him feel and what they took him back to. By this point, I was well over my allotted delivery time as I finally pulled out of his driveway. I'd have to rush for the next hour to catch up, but it was totally worth it, because I knew exactly which car I was going to buy now. Over the years, I've been lucky enough to drive a lot of different cars. There was one that really stuck with me. A Toyota Celica. Not the bubbly-looking version with all its soft lines. No, no. The clean line version. I really like the silhouette of that car. If you remember, it was the car the Shazad owned and I borrowed one night. Just seeing it sat on that customer's driveway, it brought back memories of exactly how quickly that car had felt like I'd been driving it forever. It sat low and hugged the road and it moved more than quick enough for me. There were just two questions left. Spoiler or no spoiler version. And which colour? Only three to choose from, black, red or blue. And the dapper butch in me made the final decision. Because you see, black goes with everything. And I can't be having my car clash with my outfit. It was one of those moments when I really appreciated not needing to have to get a car seat in the back. My only practical requirements were a seat for Ashley and a boot big enough for all of our roller derby gear. I was in love with my new car and Ashley approved of my choice. She was very happy to be seen in it. It was bye-bye Goldie and hello sexy sport wheels. Now, as shallow as this might sound, the car did give me a bit of a confidence boost. I felt good driving it. And, as boosts go, it helped and it was well timed. Especially since I decided to listen to my dentist. During a checkup, which I was fully conscious for, go team me, I checked his proposed timeline with him once more. If, according to him, I went for the speedy healing process and didn't wear temporary dentures, I'd likely be in my new teeth by January 2016. Maybe even before Christmas, if everything went really well. Otherwise, it was going to be multiple appointments and multiple fittings. I figured I'd already been walking around for years with awful looking teeth, or teeth that had disappeared, or just generally speaking, teeth that I'd rather people hadn't had to see. And now, there was nothing to see. And, as it goes, dental work here in England falls into a weird part of the NHS. It's very rare to get completely free dental treatment unless you're a child. Granted, it can be subsidised greatly in comparison to the private fees, but you know, still not free. And so far, despite everything they've done for me, nobody has asked me for a single penny. And I am not about to bring up any kind of discussion about payment or embark on a course of treatment that might require a bunch of extra payments for temporary teeth that will apparently be uncomfortable and slow my recovery. So people might say it was a brave choice, but to me, it was just a smart choice. You know, no teeth and no asking about the bill. It was my grand plan. So I lined up the next appointment and got on with life in the meantime. Now that Ashley wasn't juggling two houses, she was much, much more present again. I had hoped that the reduction in stress would lead to a reduction in her drinking, but it didn't. Granted, Ash was in a better mood and she wasn't just drinking and passing out, but after the restrictions of the last year or so, Ash was just ready to celebrate everything. She was still drinking and eventually falling asleep on the sofa. She was just in a better mood about it. Despite all of this, we were finding a way to reconnect. With all the stress that she'd been under, managing the house by herself, a distance had sort of opened up between us. Roller derby was helping us see each other in a new light. You know, I got to see Ash as my teammate, and then we were both cheering each other on as we figured out each of the minimum skills. Together we signed up for all sorts of boot camps all over the country. And these road trips gave us hours to talk and talk. And it turned out that, you know, as we remembered, sitting side by side in the car had often worked out really well for us. As the weather got better, Ash and I started doing outdoor skating of an evening, and suddenly our Saturdays would be spent almost entirely on skates. You know, training at one of these boot camps or down the local roller disco. It turns out, no matter the decade, there will always be a couple of annoying show-offs whenever there's a roller disco or roller rink. You know the ones I mean. Impressive skills, slightly douchey behaviour. Nobody's wowed by people who cut up six-year-olds on Barbie skates and make them fall over. Ash had taken no time at all to catch up with my skating skills. She really was a natural. But she was a natural who was working very hard at it too. And she really was fearless. She wasn't afraid to get stuck in, was Ash. There was no doubt in my mind she was going to be tough on track. I, on the other hand, was loving the game and learning something new, but turns out I'm not as competitive as I used to be. Totally ignoring all of those sort of feelings, Ash and I committed to our first game, our cherry popper, as it was called. Nobody on either of the teams would have played more than 5 games max. So it really was rookie versus rookie. Part of the theatrics and drama that roller derby did keep when it came back were things like bout fits, because why wouldn't you want to play sport in fishnet tights? And of course, if you're going to wear fishnets, you need to do your makeup. And there are so many different types of bout day makeup, from the minimalist and classic American football style black line under each eye to full face paint. And then there is, of course, the time old roller derby tradition of picking your derby name. Think of your derby name as the name of your alter ego. It's the side of you that people, don't usually see. It's the sign of you that you are going to unleash on the track. In a world where women are consistently told to make themselves smaller and quieter, roller derby demands the opposite. It needs you to take up space, literally, on the track. You have to find your voice and be able to yell to your teammates. You need to ignore all of that social conditioning that says you're not strong enough, or you're not tough enough, and you're not aggressive enough. You need to hit someone. And sometimes it's easier to do that via an alter ego. Plus, derby names are pun-tastic, and there is no end to people's creativity and imagination. I'd love to tell you I came up with the best roller derby name you've ever heard, but I didn't. It's Pants. So I'm not going to tell you it. I can't lie, Ash didn't come up with anything particularly brilliant either first time around. But it was still a thrill when my uniform showed up with my name and number on everything. Hadn't felt like that for years. But much like my return to judo, I found that roller derby was tough going. I still wasn't bouncing very well. And then there was one of the minimum skills tests. It's called the 27-5, and it is a torturous test of endurance. Skaters have to complete 27 laps of the track in 5 minutes. Doesn't sound too much, but I think it's something like 11 to 13 seconds a lap. So you have to move it. It's a pretty tough ask, even on an empty track. But there we are, all training together, and you have to try really hard not to mess someone else's attempt up on those Saturday mornings where you'd rolled into training hungover and regretting that you smoked. The day I nailed this skill was glorious, even if it did take me 10 minutes to get off the floor afterwards. The skill itself had never made much sense to me. I mean, 27 laps in 5 minutes. The longest we ever really skated for was 2 minutes at a time. And it seemed like it was built for a certain type of skater. And it held back people who were otherwise competent. Don't let me put you off though. If you've been thinking of taking up roller derby now, the good news is that the 27-5 died in the early days of the pandemic. So it's not there anymore. So get down to your local league right now and sign up. Anyway, our cherry popper is fast approaching. And there's only one real concern I've got left. You know, aside from getting hit so hard I think I was in next week. It was my glasses. In all my years of sport, I never got brave enough to switch to contacts. And I didn't really need to. In hockey, I wore a helmet with a face guard, so there were no real issues there. And in judo, I just took them off. I only needed to see a foot or two in front of me. And I think that sort of limited focus actually helped me. But roller derby? Hadn't quite found a solution yet. And I couldn't be affording to break and replace my glasses every week because of a game of wheelie smack. And then I thought, I found the perfect solution. Snowboarding goggles. Don't get me wrong, I looked like an absolute tit, but it protected my specs and it didn't smush them into my face when I got hit. You know you're definitely getting older when looking cool slips below your budgeting for your spectacles. Now, one of the downsides to being butch is that people can expect you to react and feel and behave in a certain way. So, when it seemed that I was ridiculously nervous about actually playing, which I was, I think it surprised a few people. But it turns out that actually our new team was full of great people, and I needn't have worried. Ashley, though, is channeling her nerves into excitement, and I am so jealous. She is not the nervous wreck that I am. My nerves have got me rechecking and rechecking my equipment and my bag and just generally feeling very, very sick. The moment creeps closer. We're all kitted up now. I've just got to find my gum shield. I know, it tickled me too, having to wear a gum shield despite having no teeth. Now, all that nervous bag checking had been no help. I'd forgotten or lost my gum shield somehow. And there was no way they were going to let me play without one. As a frantic search for a spare or replacement gum shield was mounted by my entire team, I couldn't help but wonder if I'd sabotaged myself. I'm still not sure to this day. I'd like to think it was just a simple act of forgetting it, but I can't help but wonder if I was trying to give myself an easy out. In the end, it didn't matter. A spare gum shield was located, cleaned, and then we dropped it into a cup of hot chocolate so that I could remould it to fit. Mmm, tasty. Our experienced teammates had come along to watch our first game, and their support turned out to be invaluably practical. Not only had they found the gum shield, but they were there to draw our numbers on our arms with the Sharpies provided, and give us a little bit of a pep talk as we skated to our benches. There were about five of us from our team ready to join this rookie lineup. You didn't get to meet your teammates until you got to your bench. At this stage, nobody is worrying about strategy or tactics at a cherry popper. Surviving the game is your main goal. Secondary goals, try not to get injured and try not to foul out. That is an ideal first game if you can manage it. Anything else you do is a bonus. In these kind of games, it's easy to see who it's clicked for and who it's still coming together for. It's the rules as much as the lack of skating ability that catch most of us rookies out. Betty, our coach and all-round roller derby guru, had been around the game for a fair while, and she knew all the usual mistakes rookies make in their first game. She prepped us well. We ran scenario after scenario, and like the arrogant newbies we were, we didn't think these things had happened to us. But it turned out, I was very glad I was listening, because I made the classic newbie mistake in my very first go out. I'd opted a jam, you know, use my speed and timing to weave through the pack. I was already a legend in my own mind. Except, my nerves got in the way and I false started. Normally us rookies panic in this particular moment because nobody's either mentioned false start or we completely forget what we're told and then we manage to get ourselves sent off. Except I had Betty's voice yelling in my head. Yield! Yield! Just stop, you daft wazzock! I don't know how many times Betty had shouted that at me at training, but it had paid off. I yielded. I let everybody go on ahead of me. Play continued, and the ref gave me a nod, and I was on my way without getting sent to the penalty box. My teammates in the stand cheered like I'd just scored the winning points of a game. Honestly, I was dead chuffed with myself. Never been so happy to make my coach proud. The game itself went great, and there was a really lovely atmosphere. I did have a moment of drama when my toe stop came out of one of my skates mid-jam. It wouldn't have been so much of a problem if my brain could quickly adjust to the missing toe stop, but it seemed determined to ignore the fact that I was actually skating around with said toe stop in my hand. Every time I got knocked down, I instinctively tried to use that missing toe stop to get up and therefore would immediately face plant. It was a very long minute and a half of my life. But all in all, we'd acquitted ourselves well in our first game out. More importantly, we'd all survived it, and in one piece. Ashley and I dissected every moment of play as we drove home, and then ate all the pizza in the world, and tried to scrub our Sharpie numbers off in the shower. The whole thing had been nowhere near as bad as my nerves had had me imagining. I was so glad I'd done it, and dare I say it, I was even looking forward to our next game. By this point, Ash and I are going to two training sessions a week, and anything else even remotely skate related. In those rare moments that we weren't discussing roller derby, there were two other priorities on our agenda. The first was a holiday. We felt a very much needed and well deserved holiday. The second was moving house. The holiday was gonna come first. Ever since we'd hired the cottage that other Easter, Ash had been much more taken with the idea of doing the same for our next holiday. I have to confess, I was really surprised when Ash suggested that we go back to Cyprus. But as she said, you can't hold a whole country to blame. And the place she found did look perfect. And it was in a completely different part of Cyprus. If Ash was sure, then I was sure. I googled the complex the apartment was in. Everything seemed great. I couldn't fault her on her choice. And I'd spotted a couple of tennis courts that looked perfect to skate on. Ever since we got back into roller derby, I couldn't pass a nice patch of concrete or tarmac or even shopping centre without thinking, that'd be really good to skate on. Ash thought I was mad, and maybe I was, but what I did was I did a practice pack, and it turned out that between us we had more than enough weight allowance in our luggage to take our skates if we wanted to. And I really wanted to. I could just see myself now, skating next to the sea in the sunshine, Come on, that sounded like the perfect holiday activity. Ashley made me prove my workings out, and then she agreed. Skates in the sunshine, it was on. I packed mine and Ashley's cases for real. I was hoping there weren't going to be any other kids at the resort, especially not other kids sporting a very cool pair of subtle marble swim shorts that I'd picked up from the kids section of our local supermarket. It was bad enough in Ibiza when that 8-year-old at the water park had the same bikini on as me. There was now just a small matter of our team's first game in the National League, which I'd been reliably informed we very much held the bottom of up. Winning appeared wildly optimistic for our team, but we had goals, you know, to keep the score gap to a minimum and maybe getting a certain amount of points on the board ourselves. You know, realistic goals. As the newest members and least experienced of our team, our track time was, of course, sensibly limited, but it was exciting. I was loving being on the bench, figuring out what was happening and why. I managed not to be completely useless on track, and it was the most fun I'd ever had losing. Ash and I rushed home to scrub the derby smell off ourselves, because trust me, nobody wants to be stuck on a plane next to people who stink of roller derby. It's a very unique and a very strong odour, and it's going to take some decent soap to rid you of that faint lingering smell. The next morning, my view from our balcony is nothing but blue skies, blue sea and palm trees. And it's my birthday week, and I'm going to get to spend it lying in the sun. It's an absolute treat. We kick back completely. The apartment complex itself was pretty quiet. The poolside cafe and bar was always open. And, as I discovered on my birthday, the place even had its own spa. Ash had booked an entire afternoon of pampering at the spa for me on my birthday. Can't lie, I was relieved to find out that my treatment was just going to be an epic massage, head to toe. After that, we had the steam room, the sauna and the jacuzzi all to ourselves. Might have been the most grown-up birthday yet, I thought, as I sat in that jacuzzi drinking my champagne and eating strawberries. This was the kind of adulting I could get used to, let me tell you. The rest of the week flashed by as, you know, great holidays tend to do. I wasn't ready to go home, where the Fanta never tastes quite as good and the crisp selection isn't as tasty. I didn't want to go home where it was never warm enough for me, and on those rare days that it is, you're not allowed to be hanging around topless by the pool. Turns out the local Lido really frowns upon that sort of thing, I discovered. But going home was just temporary. We needed to find a new one. We'd already decided that we were going to rent somewhere until we knew for sure what our plan was. Ashley was just desperate for more space. The bungalow had been ideal for the 6 to 9 months that we'd expected to be here. 2 years later, however, it had become very claustrophobic. Ashley led the house hunt and we visited a few. Nothing quite worked for us. Ash seemed to have some sort of specific idea in mind, but she couldn't really articulate it and nothing was quite matching up. So in the midst of all this, we took a weekend off and went to visit our friends Jason and his boyfriend John, who, along with their dog, had abandoned their 2-bedroom central London flat. Well, I say abandoned, sold. And it turned out that that 2-bedroom flat was worth a 5-bedroom behemoth of a house with the gardens to match up in the very east of England. As we all hung out and chatted and ended up in the hot tub in the big back garden, I could see the cogs turning in Ashley's brain. She'd seen exactly what she wanted. Now she just had to find it where we were. Suddenly the budget we've got has gone up and the places we're looking at have gotten bigger. Yes, I like the house she's showing me, but no, I can't afford half of that kind of rent. I don't want to hold Ashley back from the things she wants, but I'm not able to stretch that far. I explain that, and she gets it. So we decide that if we do go for somewhere that is out of my budget, Ashley will make up the difference. With all of that agreed, our next viewing is a proper house. Not a flat, not a maisonette, not a little bungalow. Not any of the stuff that we've been looking at before. No. No, now we're looking at a proper semi-detached house. With a driveway big enough for 4 or 5 cars if you park them right. 3 bedrooms, family bathroom and a downstairs toilet. There's a conservatory and an old coal shed, which is the perfect place to keep your lawnmower you'll be needing for that decent-sized lawn out the back. Ashley loved the place, I could tell. It seemed like a lot of house for two people who were out for more than 40 hours a week. And it seemed like an unnecessary strain on Ashley, you know, to make up that difference. Of course, we talked it over and she assured me it wasn't a stretch for her. It seemed after that, her only other question was, did I like it? Did I like it enough to max my budget out on it? Did I want to live there? Provided the numbers added up on Ashley's side, why wouldn't I want to live in a lovely house like that? All this place was missing was a white picket fence. Gucci was gonna love it. Next thing I know, the deal is done. From the teeny tiny bungalow to the big house. Seemed we were on our way up. Moving day came, and so did a delivery that very afternoon. Ashley had ordered a helicopter chair for our new back garden. Just like the one I'd seen in Jason and John's big back garden. At their big house. Sometimes I realised it wasn't just the Joneses that Ash was trying to keep up with. My wonderful mum and dad came to lend a hand on moving day. And thank God, because it turned out that you needed some serious skills to put that bloody helicopter chair together without losing a finger. Dad to the rescue. And then they even offered to help out with some new furniture. The landlord had been kind enough to leave the living room and dining room furnished on our request. Because, you know, we didn't have a dining table. And I knew for a fact that our £10 sofa was not coming back out of that bungalow in one piece. Mum suggested that we treat ourselves to a new bed and put the old one in our now spare room. I thought, imagine that. I've got a whole room that's just spare and no need of a housemate. I tell you, it was an awesome feeling. Less awesome was my impending second round of losing lots of teeth to the dentist. Can't fault that place, their drugs are amazing, and I knew nothing about the whole thing. In fact, our new bed was delivered shortly after we got home from the surgery. I don't remember anything about it. All I know is I woke up the next morning in a very comfortable new bed with 6 less teeth. I just had one more set of extractions to endure, and then it was all a waiting game. Thankfully, I checked. It was a year after the first lot of extractions, not the last. So I was halfway there already. Ash and I settled into the new house and had a cracking summer. You know, my only real gripe with the new place was the bloody stairs. It had been a lot easier to get Ash to bed after one too many when we lived in the bungalow. Hello and thank you for listening to another chapter of Tales of a Well-Established Lesbian. If you've listened to the bonus episode, my sincere apologies for any difficulty you had understanding the questions. I think I may have been a little leftover Halloween enthusiasm on my part. The scream mask voice changer may not have been my most brilliant idea. I'll be posting the questions in the show notes just in case there's a few that you've still not quite deciphered. And again, my apologies, my bad. I'll get it right next time. Don't forget to follow me on Insta or Facebook or join the community of listeners over on Reddit at r/TOAWEL. And if you've enjoyed the show so far and the many hours of entertainment it's brought you, and you really like that it's ad-free, consider subscribing for as little as £1 a month. Head to ko-fi.com, that's ko-fi.com/well-established-lesbian, or find the link on my website. Thanks, as always, for the privilege of your time. I hope you have a great week. Take care of you.